Prepare yourself now as God's teacher for this hour, Dr. Howard C. Estep, brings the faith-building message, Evolution, True or False?
Today I want to discuss a most interesting subject, evolution, true or false. A lot of evolution is being taught today. Evolution is being taught in our school system. The Bible has been taken out of the school system. And so today, the evolutionists are running rampant. They are teaching their theory. I want to discuss this in a very intelligent manner, based solely upon Scripture, so that when we come to the conclusion of this message, you'll have a biblical understanding of creation. We begin over in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the beginning, did you ever meet anybody who knew when the beginning was? Huh? Have you? Speak right up. Don't sit there like that. Do you know anybody that knows where the beginning or when the beginning was? I've never met anybody, and I've been at this almost 50 years. And I've spoken in colleges and high schools and public gatherings all across our world, and I've yet to have anybody stamp up and tell me when the beginning was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So this is over in Genesis 1:1. We have the beginning, and it was at that time that God created the heaven and the earth. Way over here in Genesis 1:1. God is a perfect creator. Everything God does is perfect. There's no arguments. God is absolutely perfect in every detail. So in the beginning, whenever that was, God created a perfect heaven and he created a perfect earth. Now, I've drawn a line here on the chart way over here to Genesis 1:2. I've separated Genesis 1:1 on purpose from Genesis 1:2. I have put a time difference between those two verses of Scripture, and here's the question mark. Now, let's read Genesis 1:2. We read Genesis 1:1. Now, 1:2 says, and the earth was without form and void. Now, it wasn't created that way. It was not created in Genesis 1:1 without form and void. But when we come to Genesis 1:2, we find that it is created without form and void, or it is without form and void. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. Now we have come to a place where there's a lot of confusion, great deal of confusion. We have the evolutionists today are teaching various things that are not according to Scripture. And the learning system, the educational system, will not permit us to place the Bible in the school system right beside the material that the evolutionists are teaching, because the Bible contradicts evolutionists. It contradicts the theory of evolution. What is the theory of evolution? The theory of evolution teaches that a zoophyte begat a trilobite, and the trilobite begat a polywog, and the polywog begat a tadpole, and the tadpole begat a fish, and the fish begat a reptile, and the reptile begat a quadruped. The quadruped begat a baboon, and the baboon begat something that got lost, and that thing which got lost begat you, not me. Leave me out of the picture. I was not begat by something that got lost. I was begat by my father, James Daniel Estep. You see, the theory of evolution is all wrong. It operates on a hypothesis. For instance, here's an article from a recent newspaper. It says, this is New York, scientists in California on Tuesday, this was a couple of weeks ago from the time I'm taping this sermon, scientists in California on Tuesday reported a major discovery. Isn't that wonderful? The scientists have now made a major discovery after millions and millions of years. They've made a major discovery that supports the emerging theory. You see, we're back to theory. A theory isn't anything. A theory is just guesswork. My friends, anybody can have a theory. I can have a theory that if you stand on your head 5 hours every day in the corner, you will grow an inch every hour you stand on your head. That could be a theory. But you can't prove it. You can't back it up. These scientists in California have a theory that life on Earth began in clay rather than the sea. One clipping that I got before I got this one said that all life began in the sea. Every bit of life, physical life for the human, for the fowl, for the fish, for the beasts of the field, all life began in the sea, one theory says. Now another theory comes along, and they say that life on Earth began in clay rather than the sea. The discovery, they're saying this is a big discovery, announced that a symposium showed the ordinary clay contains two basic properties essential to life, the capacities to store and transfer energy, with such energy coming from radioactive decay and other sources. The early clays, that's those clays millions and millions of years ago, the early clays could have acted as chemical factories for processing inorganic raw materials into the more complex molecules from which the first life arose some 4 billion years ago. Isn't that lovely? Doesn't that just thrill you right down to the very tips of your toes to know that all life began in clay? Now, what does the Bible say? See, these guys don't want us to put the Bible in the school system. They're afraid of it. They know that if we put the Bible in the school system, we're going to knock their little theories into a cocked hat, and they won't have a piece of ground to stand on. Absolutely not. May I go a step further right here and come out on a limb, if you want to call it that? May I say we do not know how old the earth is. There's no way in the world that you can ascertain the age of the earth. Because from Genesis 1:1 up to Genesis 1:2, there's a big question mark. There could have been 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years. We don't know. There's no way of knowing. Now, some men in the theological realm of teaching Scripture tell us that they believe that it's 7,000 years back to Adam. But I've got Adam on this time chart away over here in the middle of this 12-foot chalkboard. A lot of things happened over here between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. For instance, before Adam, now listen carefully, this may shock you, this may upset your Sunday school equilibrium, but let it do it anyhow. Before Adam, there was on the earth cities, mountains, birds, fruitful places, and sexless beings. You never heard anybody say that? I've been saying it for over 40 years. Before Adam, cities, mountains, birds, fruitful places, sexless beings, on the earth before Adam. So we don't know how old the earth is. And to come along and say that all life came from clay, or all life came out of the sea, shows a super ignorance. You thought I was going to say intelligence, didn't you? No, it shows a super ignorance of the scientists, because they know nothing about the Word of God, or they wouldn't make such an idiotic statement as this. We do not know how old the earth is. All we do know that in the beginning, whenever that was, if you know somebody that knows, would you ask them to call me? Call me on the phone immediately. I'd like to know. Well, the only thing we know is that in Genesis 1:1, we have a perfect earth. In Genesis 1:2, we know that something happened to the perfect earth. And the space of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, we do not know the length of this space of time. And that's why I put a question mark there. We don't know. No way of knowing. And that's why when they dig up a skull down in Africa or in Australia, somewhere they find a man encased in an ice floe or something like that, and they bring his body back to civilization. They start examining it, and they say, well, this man is 1,000,000 years old. Or this man is 100,000 years. They don't know. There's no way of knowing unless some clothing on that individual or something about his being that would date to a certain time period is the only way you'd know anything. But just to look at a naked skull or a bone structure of a hip or something of that nature of the physical body and say this man is 2 billion years old or 3 million years old, that is pure fanciful hypothesis guessing. That's all it is. And whether you're a student of a big university or you've just come up the hard way, it doesn't matter. If you're guessing, you're just plain old guessing. And I'd like to say, hi, professor of guessing. Nice to meet you. The Bible is a revelation. The Bible is a revelation, not an explanation. Now remember that. The Bible comes along and it reveals certain things. The Bible revealed that God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible revealed that the earth was without form and void. The Bible reveals that there was an angel up in heaven by the name of Lucifer. The Bible reveals that he was cast out of heaven, came down to the earth, and became Satan. He just reveals it. He doesn't explain it. And he doesn't give the reason why. Because God does not have to explain his actions to anybody. God is not accountable to anybody. God is sovereign. And he does whatever he wants to do. Let's take a little look over in the book of John, the Gospel of John. This is an interesting book. John's Gospel, chapter 1, looking at the first three verses, in the beginning. Now, I'm not reading Genesis 1:1, I'm reading John 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, meaning a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this individual? None other than Jesus Christ. John 1:1's talking about Jesus Christ being there on the earth at the hour of creation in the beginning when all of this was brought into being. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Mr. Scientist, you're wrong. All life did not come from the sea. All life did not come from clay. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ made everything. Take your little symposium and go hide your face. Because you are teaching idiotic error, and you should know better. Go back to high school and finish your grades so you'll know better the next time. Absolutely. Theory. I don't believe in theory. I believe the Word of God, and the Word of God says that Jesus Christ made all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Evolution? It's false. False right down to the very foundation. There is no substantiation for evolution. Pollywog, tadpole, fish, reptile, quadruped, something that got lost, blah, 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 blah. Isn't that idiotic? It sounds like kids 4 or 5 years old playing out behind the house, and they can't think of anything to do, so they make up a lot of fictitious words. Scientists, they don't fit in my category whatsoever. Look at the book of Colossians. This is an interesting book. I'm establishing the fact that there's no such thing as evolution. I'm taking a little extra time to work my way through this to show you that I know the Scripture teaches that evolution is false. This is Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, who, W-H-O, referring to Christ. Who, or you could substitute the word Christ instead of who, and you could say, Christ is the image of the invisible God. He was. Jesus said on a number of occasions, they who have seen me have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. We're the same. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Isn't that beautiful? Scientists, having your little symposium in California, go hide your face. Nobody's going to believe you except someone just as foolish as you are. Because the Bible says, and this is the only authoritative, Holy Spirit-inspired book in all of the world. God only wrote one Bible. God only wrote one book. And God put the whole story in this book. So we'd have intelligence. God doesn't want me going to symposiums and studying theories. God wants me to read the book and know the fact, know the truth, as outlined in Scripture. So we have established the fact that in the beginning, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit were present at the time of creation, and Jesus Christ created everything. And He created everything in a perfect manner. How did He do it? Well, there's a lot of theories. there are a lot of theories. Let's turn over to Psalms. Take a little look at the Psalms. Psalm 33. Now, how did all this come about? This boy here says it came out of the clay. All life came out of the clay. And a clipping that I got prior to getting this one, which I didn't bring to the studio with me, says that all life came out of the sea. Those two scientists hadn't met, and they hadn't gotten together. If they could have met, maybe in the men's restroom or something, and had gotten together before they got into the symposium, they could have had the same story, and people would have believed them, probably. But now, where did everything come from? All right, Psalm 33, looking at verse 6, 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Jesus Christ just spoke the word. He just spoke the word and it became a reality. And by him were all things created, and by him were all things consist and continue as they were from the beginning. Nothing has been altered or changed. By the breath of his mouth, it all came into reality. Now, one thing I want to establish before we go any further, though we don't know how old the earth is, which was created in Genesis 1:1, and it became a disaster in Genesis 1:2, we don't know the difference of space between 1:2 and 1:1. There's no way of knowing. It would just be a guess. And I refuse to guess. If I can't find the answer in the Bible, I leave it alone. How old is the earth? Well, I'll say this. God intended this earth to always be inhabited. That's why I made the statement at the beginning of this message that before Adam ever came on the scene, before Adam ever appeared, and I hope that you'll listen with me long enough to get my argument before you say, oh, well, Estep is crazy. Before Adam ever appeared on the scene, there were cities, there were mountains, there were birds, there were fruitful or pleasant places, and there were sexless beings. Beings on the earth before Adam. Oh, you'll say Adam's the first man. Yeah, the Bible says so. But it doesn't say he was the first being. It says he was the first man. But there were beings on the earth before Adam. And that's why when Lucifer was thrown out of heaven and he came down to the earth and became Satan, this Satan led astray the beings that were on the earth before Adam. And then God sent a great flood of water before Adam. In Genesis 1:9, you find that the whole earth is covered over with water. In Genesis 1:9, and Adam hasn't even appeared on the scene yet. The whole earth is covered over with water, and I believe that the only intelligent reason and excuse you have today for the demon world is that the bodies of the sexless beings before Adam were destroyed in the flood of Genesis 1:9. And their bodies were destroyed, but their spirits being eternal have become the demons of the world today. And that's why Satan has legions of demons. He has the spirit of the sexless beings that were on the earth before Adam. And they are the demoniac world that's operating full power in the world today. God intended this earth to be inhabited. I'm looking at Isaiah 45, looking at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. Genesis 1:1, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God formed the earth. He made the earth. He created the earth. He did all of this to have an inhabited globe. But Lucifer, up in heaven, the anointed angel that hovered over the throne of God, became proud, lifted up because of his beauty. He evidently enticed some of the angelic beings up in heaven to worship him because Lucifer hovered over the throne of God day and night up in heaven. He was a specially created angel by God just to hover over the throne of God. And God made him the greatest musician, the most beautiful of all the angels, the most talented, and he was lifted up because of his talents, because of his beauty, because of his pride. He was lifted up, and evidently he secured the services of other angels to worship him, and there arose dissension in heaven, a war, a revolution, and the Bible says that God threw Lucifer out of heaven and one third of the angels, and those angels are in caves of darkness down inside the earth awaiting the great white throne judgment according to the book of Jude. But Lucifer is going about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What happened? Lucifer came down to the earth. His name was changed to Satan. He led these sexless beings on the earth and tried to get them to worship him, to establish another throne on the earth. He was establishing a throne on the earth, and he would be king over all the earth, and he would have these sexless beings worshiping him, and God would not allow that because God threw him out of heaven because he's tried to do that up in heaven with the angels. So he comes down to the earth, he tries to get the sexless beings to worship him, and then God sends a flood of water in Genesis 1:9, and the Bible says the whole earth was covered over with water and not one thing was living upon the earth. The sexless beings were drowned in that flood. And is it possible, I'm asking a question, I don't know the answer. Is it possible we are finding some of the bony framework or the skulls or fragments of those sexless beings before Adam, and we're saying, oh, these are millions of years old, these are hundreds of thousands of years old, these are billions of years old, we don't know how old they are, because there's no way of knowing how much time is between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Oh, there's a strange world in which we live. A lot of things have gone on. God intended this earth to be inhabited. And then when Satan came down to this earth, what did God do? Well, we say this is the earth here. What happened? When Satan came down to the earth, the Bible says that God wrapped this earth in a swaddling band of darkness. God put a cloud bank around the earth. Cloud bank. You didn't know that? Let me share it with you in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 9. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness the swaddling band for it. Yeah. God put this band of darkness around the earth. The astronauts that have gone up into the outer space realm of the universe have said that up there, several miles up there, it's pitch black dark, inky black dark, up above. God put the darkness up there. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, just before the second advent of Jesus Christ, at the war of Armageddon, that God is going to wipe that darkness away. He's going to remove it. And people will be able to look up into heaven, and they'll be able to see the Son of God sitting on the right hand of the Father up in the third heaven, because the darkness has been removed. Oh, there's a lot of beautiful truths in the Bible. You don't have to go to a symposium to have some men who don't know what they're talking about try to instruct you in the things of God. Just dig into the book. I've been digging into this book almost 50 years, and I haven't even scratched the surface. But I'm talking about things today you never heard of before in all your life. Some of you have bitten your tongue twice already in the first part of this message, because I've said things that really shocked you. You said, I never knew that before. You know why you never knew it before? Because the pastors don't teach it. The TV and the radio preachers don't teach it. You know why they don't teach it? Because they don't know it. You see, you have to dig deep down into God's Word. And when you go excavating deep down into the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal tremendous truths to you. And then God help you if you don't share those truths with your neighbor and your friends, as I'm doing with you today in this video presentation of evolution, true or false. So, what have we found out? There's a band of darkness around the earth. The Bible tells us that in Job 38:9. In Revelation 6, verses 12 through 14, that darkness is going to be removed. Now, here's something that's been added to the earth because everything was not created in Genesis 1:1. Everything that's on the earth and in the universe was not created at Genesis 1:1. For instance, there have been some additions to the earth. For instance, you go over to the book of Matthew, and we find that because Lucifer sinned and Satan became his name after he was cast to the earth, and because he tried to create a kingdom on the earth of these sexless beings, and they were drowned in the flood of Genesis 1:9, when the entire earth was covered with flood, then God had to do something special. God had to create a hell. Because up to that time, there wasn't any hell. Someone said, I don't believe in the God that will send a man to hell. Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. Hell was never made for man. No way in the world can you prove from the Bible that hell was made for human beings. The Bible says the very opposite. Notice what it says. This is in the book of Matthew 25, and we're looking at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, watch carefully now, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. What was hell prepared for? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 32:22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and what made God angry was the shenanigans that Lucifer did up in heaven, and God had to throw him out. And then he came down to the earth, and then he tried to establish an earthly kingdom of the sexless beings that were down here before Adam, and then God had to destroy these sexless beings by sending a flood of water, Genesis 1:9, and destroyed everything on the earth, and then God became angry. God became very angry. He had the angels who had transgressed his law. God became angry. Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. God became angry. God says, I'll create a hell. And this hell is for the devil and his angels. And one third of the angels which were led by Lucifer up in heaven are now down in the bowels of the earth, in the lower regions of the earth, in chains of darkness, awaiting the white throne judgment. You see, the Bible has the answer for everything. The Bible has the solution for all of the problems. Absolutely. All of the problems of this world can be resolved by reading Scripture, by following the plan of God. Well, you say, Mr. Estep, so far this is rather fanciful, and you kind of hold me spellbound, and I'm wondering, how did Adam come on the scene? Well, God could have stopped here at Genesis 1:2. God could have just stopped. What did God do? The Bible says that God picked up a handful of dirt. This is over, I think, in Genesis 2:7, if I remember correctly. God just picked up a handful of dirt. And then God formed and he shaped that dirt, the Bible says, into his own image. into the image that he himself looked like at that time. And then when he finished molding it and shaping it and getting it just right, whew, God breathed into that dirt body the breath of life, and that dirt body became alive. That dirt body became a triune being, body, soul, spirit. God just did that. He just picks up this dirt that was made in Genesis 1:1, created over in Genesis 1:1, been lying dormant there through that space of time up to Genesis 1:2. God didn't want to quit right there, so he picks up the handful of dirt. He forms the dirt into a knowledgeable, understanding body. Whew, breathes into it the breath of life. And that dirt body became alive. Became a man. Adam became the first man, but not the first being, because there were beings on the earth before Adam. And then the Bible says it's not good for man to live alone. So God says, I'm going to give him a helpmeet. I'm going to give him a partner. So God puts Adam asleep, performs the first surgical operation, takes out of Adam one of his ribs. Now you notice he didn't make this woman out of dirt. He made her out of one of Adam's ribs. And then he formed the rib into the image, made a wool man, gave the wool man to the man Adam, gave them the powers of reproducing themselves, sex, male and female, told them to multiply and replenish the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, long about verse 28 or 29 in there somewhere, he said, I want you, Adam, you and your wife, Adam and Eve, I want you to replenish the earth because there were beings on the earth before Adam. He told Noah the same thing 1,600 years after Adam. He told Noah, I want you and your three boys and their three wives and your wife, I want you to multiply and replenish the earth. Because there were beings before Noah, Adam and his family for 1,600 years. He tells Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. There were sexless beings before Adam. From Genesis 1:2 to Genesis 1:1, a period of time we don't know how much time it was. No way of knowing. Absolutely not. You want to be further shocked? Turn over to the book of Jeremiah. Now, don't read ahead of me, please. Don't read ahead of me. But let's turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, and listen carefully. And before we start to read, let's establish something. Where is Jeremiah? Where is Jeremiah? Jeremiah is standing on the earth about 600 B.C. And Jeremiah is looking in this direction. Now that's most important that you understand that. That you grasp that. Because if you don't grasp that truth, you'll miss the real understanding of this whole presentation. Jeremiah is a prophet. He's standing on the earth about 600 B.C. He is taking a retrospective, a backward look. This is Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Isn't that nice? Jeremiah was looking at Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:2 says, it was without form and void. Jeremiah is looking that way. He sees Genesis 1:2. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. Why? Because God had put a band of darkness around the earth and around the heavens. He had put a swaddling band of darkness, according to Job 38, verse 9. He's going to take it off in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. And then people will be able to look up into heaven, and they'll look right up to the third heaven, and they'll see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of God. Jeremiah says, "And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains." I told you there were mountains before Adam. Adam is here. "I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly." Jeremiah is seeing an earthquake. He's seeing probably the earthquake that break up the earth and allowed the water which covered the earth in Genesis 1:9, allowed that water to run into basins which we call seas or oceans. And he saw the mountains, and he saw the hills, and all the hills moved lightly. Verse 25, "I beheld, and lo, there was no man." Jeremiah is looking at the earth before Adam, because there was no man. We have never, since Adam, ever had a time on this earth when there wasn't no man. We got down to 8 people during Noah's flood, but we had 8 at that time. But Jeremiah says, "I saw the thing when there was no man. And all the birds," I told you there were birds, "and all the birds of the heavens were fled." Verse 26, "I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness." The fruitful place, the pleasant places, was a wilderness. "And all the cities, all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger." Deuteronomy 32:22. "In mine anger, I started a fire." Jeremiah sees what's happening during that anger. "Broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end." The whole thing is going to be desolate because of Genesis 1:2, without form and void. But God says, "I'm not going to allow it to be a desolation continually. I'm going to pick up a handful of dirt. I'm going to make a man. I'm going to take one of his ribs and make a woman. I'm going to give them the power of sexual reproducing their kind. And I'm going to tell them to multiply and fill up the earth again." And that's what's happening. 5 billion people on the earth today. And over in the third world countries where they have famine every year, there's no way in the world you can ever take care of that famine situation because they're reproducing their kind faster than they can feed them. They'll always have a famine in those third world countries. Absolutely. Jeremiah, standing on the earth, retrospectively, what does he see? There was no man. The birds of the heavens had fled. The fruitful place was a wilderness. All the cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord and at His fierce anger. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. And God started with a handful of dirt. And He has been progressing, Adam. And then people lived on from Adam, multiplied their kind up to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. About 4,000 years of time from Adam to the first coming. And then from the first coming to the second advent of Christ, we believe it'll be about 2,000 years of time. For those of you who are taking notes, we might put that down. We believe it'll be about 2,000 years of time from the first coming to the second coming, or second advent. Then Christ comes at the second advent to fight the war of Armageddon. And then he ushers the world into what we call the kingdom age of 1,000 years. And there's going to be peace and prosperity and happiness and tranquility up on the earth for 1,000 years. And the Bible says that nothing will hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, thus saith the Lord. And the wild animals will lose their fierceness and their fear that they have of man. And God will take the curse of childbirth off of the woman, so then in the millennial kingdom she can have children without pain. God will take the curse that he put upon the ground because of the husband, Adam's part in disobedience, eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God will remove that curse, and everybody will live at peace, peace upon the earth during this millennial kingdom. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 that there's going to be absolute peace and there'll be no war of any kind upon the earth during the millennial kingdom. And then God's going to take all of the unbelievers to the white throne judgment, and they're going to be judged. And every unbeliever who has ever lived through 7,000 years of recorded time. Now, you notice I'm not including this. I'm not including this because we don't have any time chart on this. There's no way of knowing how much time is between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. I'm saying that from Adam up to the white throne judgment, about 7,000 years of recorded time according to Scripture. We don't have to guess. We don't have to have a symposium and guess. We know because the Scripture says, and the Scripture is the Holy Spirit breathed Word of God. We know 7,000 years of recorded time from Adam to the white throne judgment. And then while all unbelievers are at the white throne judgment being judged and being shown that they had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, once they have been shown that they had an opportunity and they refused that opportunity, then God is going to have an angel after they are condemned by the heavenly court. Jesus Christ will be the judge. After they have been condemned, they're going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire where they will live forever and ever and ever and ever. And while the white throne judgment is going on, this earth is destroyed by fire. And then we come back to a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 21:1. And God will have here in Revelation 21, God will have in this new dispensation of time exactly what he started with over here in the first one in Genesis 1:1. But there was all of this interruption between 1:1 and 1:2. It's marvelous when you read the Bible. You see, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was standing on the earth, and he was standing on the earth about 2,000 years ago, and John was looking this way into the future. Jeremiah was looking that way, retrospectively. John is looking into the future, and John saw all that's going to come to pass, and all of those portions of your Bible that have not yet been fulfilled, which are seemingly a mystery to you, will be fulfilled because John saw them. And he wrote it in a book. And we have the book. In Revelation 21:1 it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away all of their tears." Habitation of people on the earth before Adam? Yes. Evolution, true or false? Just as false as it can possibly be. There are no grounds, no thread of authenticity. It's a hypothesis. It should not be allowed taught in the school system. It should be outlawed by thinking people. Evolution is a damnable heresy that will lead men straight to hell and should not contaminate the young minds of our children in any way. And we should rise up on our hind legs in these last days, and we should oppose the theory of evolution, and we should resent it. We should reject it. We should have nothing with it, nothing to do with it in any way, because it's not of God. It's from the very pits of hell. Evolution, true or false? It's false.